Well, the world sure is restless right now. Our country is as restless, honestly, as I've seen it in, maybe in my lifetime. And I'm so blessed to be here. I'm so blessed to be with people who love God and who love His Word and who love one another. It's healing and it's delivering. And I trust that this entire weekend will be of Sons of God with all power. Ephesians 6:10 is where we'll start. If you want to go there, that'd be great. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." The greatest commitment that has ever been made is the commitment that God made to His holy word. That's the greatest commitment that's ever been made. And the written word of God, or the revealed word of God, is the only reliable source of establishing and maintaining accuracy. That's it. If God's word says it, we believe it. If God's word says it, He means it. If God's word says He'll do, He'll do. That is a reliable, always reliable source for accuracy and for bringing His word to pass. And you know, action is the fruit of thought. The things that we do, go to Proverbs, we'll read about that. Chapter 23 of Proverbs. Action's the fruit of thought. In Proverbs 23, and we live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with ideas, constantly telling us how we're not healthy. I actually timed it this year. I knew that these commercials for these different drugs, for instance, and I'm not picking on any drugs, I don't care about that, but you know, they'll say, well, if you have migraine headaches, take Paluca. Because Paluca will really wallop that headache. But please be warned. And then 5,000 different side effects that will kill you or you will commit suicide. You know, I'll take the headache, you know. I'll tough it out, you know. I mean, it's negative. Even when they're trying to sell something positive, they throw a negative spin on it. And it's very difficult in this world that we live in now of computers and the information highway, and everything is fast, and news and all this stuff just comes frantically and furiously our ways at all times. And there is a way to combat it, and what I'd like to share on tonight is our committed confession. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, the beginning of the verse says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." So as we think in our heart, that's how we are. If you like what you see in the mirror, then that is what you, it's good. You've done something with your heart to make you blessed with who you are. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So few people realize what they are because of what they believe. Very few people believe that that's true. However, we're not like that. Nobody here and no one anywhere ever rises above that which he or she believes. Because what we believe comes to pass. What we confess. And what we confess is basically what we think. And what we think is what we've placed in our hearts. If we don't like what we're saying, if we don't like what we're doing, then we ought to change the way we think. And this will help us confess the word of God in our lives. Salvation, Romans 10. And you know, you all know this scripture by heart. You've read it to yourself. You've read it to others. You've shared it with others when you've spoken God's word to people and so on and so forth. It's just a fantastic verse. Almost every year we take a group of about 50 out. And a lot of you have been involved in this. Where we ask, if we have, let's say the number is 50, we have 50. We ask 10 people if they know how to get born again. That's it. That's the only question we're allowed to ask. And this is just, it's like a survey. It's like a survey. Survey says, I'm telling you, and that's 500 people, right? 10 times 50 is 500, if my math is right. Very rarely, I would say less than 3% of the time, does anyone even know how to get born again? We assume they do because we do. You know, don't assume that. You might just share the word with somebody and they get eternal life because they don't know. Anyway, look at here. Chapter 10, verse 9 of Romans. That if thou shalt what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's all right there. That's how we got born again. We believed it in our heart and we confessed it with our mouth. Our confession comes from what we believe in our depths of our heart. And sometimes that's embarrassing. Honestly, it is. Even with me. Sometimes, boy, you get on these negative, stupid rolls because of what you think. And then you start saying stuff that's wrong. And then, prayerfully, you catch yourself and go, sorry, God, and move forward. You know, you don't kill yourself with condemnation. I'd like to share tonight on how to kill yourself with condemnation. I don't think I have to do it because too many of us already know how to do that. So we can confession of belief yields receipt of confession. You remember that, any of you old timers? Yeah. Nobody ever goes beyond what they confess. So to enjoy the richness of God's word, to enjoy the greatness of it, to really enjoy the fruit of God's word, we got to say what God's word says. And it's not religious unless you're religious. You can say it religiously. But dang it, it's not religious to share the word with yourself, share the word with others to help them. We need that. I need that. All great deliverance comes following people confessing God's word. And one of my heart's goal this weekend is for a lot of deliverance. For people's hearts, for people's health, for people's prosperity. Just a prayer of mine. But it follows confessing what God's word says. Even in a very difficult situation. Chapter 1 of Luke. I'd like you to go there. Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 1. And in verse 67 of Luke 1. God's word says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. So, Zacharias is going to have a word of prophecy here. Quite a word of prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. He hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. Look at this prophecy. Beautiful prophecy. Golly, Pete. This is Zacharias prophesying. Saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. What a beautiful prophecy. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without any what?
Fear.
In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, and thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through thy tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. This is a prophecy given by John the Baptist's dad concerning what God wanted said, as well as some things that were to come as a result of John the Baptist to pave the way. But God will help us out of very difficult situations. Here it said, Save us from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us. You know, we have enemies out there, seen and unseen. The adversary is our enemy. He saved us. It's a fantastic truth. What a prophecy. Deliverance follows confession. Go to Jeremiah. And I just want to go to some scriptures now. Look at them and see what they say and go, yeah, okay, that's right. I hope that's what you say. Oh, that one's wrong. No. Chapter 1 of Jeremiah, verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God will hasten his word to perform it. Hasten. He's going to perform it. Look. Everybody look right now. Look up. Look up, everyone. We're in a world that's dark, negative, dank, hurtful, mean, cruel. And all of us live in it. We cannot take this word of God and receive it passively. We got to come to it with tremendous hunger and meekness if we want to reap the full benefits of it. And that's true for all of us. He says he'll hasten to bring his word to pass. And he will. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been from, no matter what crummy thing you may have thought you did. He had hastened his word to perform it. Look at Hebrews 3. We have to fight for God's word in our minds. We do. The world's up against us. And we need each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to help bring us back to the word of God. 3. Hebrews 3 verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. The word profession means confession. Consider the confession, Christ Jesus. Consider Christ Jesus. Consider him. That means you think about him once a while. Hey, this is how you get to the place where you confess the word. You got to think about it. There's no magic tricks with God's word. It's God's word. And it comes to pass as we put it on in our lives, which it takes a lot of work. Because we got stupid heads sometimes. I do. Colossians 1. Philippians, Colossians. Boy, if the word of God has ever needed to be spoken in our nation, and I mean that, it's now. People need to hear the word of God on the lips of love, on the lips of heart, now. Man, they're so confused out there right now. They don't, their head's running around. They're spinning out of control, man. Colossians 3 does something neat. No, it's not 3, it's 1. 1:13. It says, who hath delivered us? Who hath delivered us, rescued us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, if we're delivered, then we're delivered. We've been delivered. We've been delivered. We've been rescued from among the operative influences of the kingdom of darkness. The adversary, Satan, the devil, whatever you call him, I don't know, the devil. We've been delivered. Man, so we ought to walk forth in that deliverance with tremendous confidence, knowing who we are, what we have, what we've been given so freely today, right now. Hey, why not? Romans 4. I'm not mad, I'm excited. I'm mad at the devil, but I'm excited about having a more committed confession in my life. I'd like to see God's people unite in that area. Unite in the area of speaking the word of God to one another. Helping one another with the word of God, no matter whose side you're on. I don't care whose side you're on. I'm on God's team. I heard that once. That's a good team. That's better than the Knicks. And the Heat. Verse 25 of chapter 4. It says, who was delivered for our offenses, Jesus Christ, and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace. with God. We need to say that we have peace. We need to believe that we have no strife, no anxiousness or frustration. We need to have that peace that renders forgiveness. That you know you've been forgiven. It's forgiveness enjoyed. That's another great definition of peace. We have peace. In the midst of crazy zaniness out there, we still have peace. Why? Because God's Word says we have peace. And we have what the Word of God says we have. And it says we have peace. So let's enjoy that peace. No matter what's going on, enjoy the peace God's given you. 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Sure is wonderful to be able to fellowship together like this. It's neat. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. And look at this, verse 8. And God is able. Well, if God is able, he's able. If he's able, he's willing. If he's willing, he's able. He is able. He is able to make all grace abound toward you. Man, not some grace, some of the time when he's in a good mood or we're doing well. All grace. Our God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Sounds like a figure of speech to me. All grace, always, all sufficiency, all things abound to every good work. It is. It's a figure of speech. Polypetum. I can't pronounce. It just, it's making a point. We are what God's Word says we are. All grace. All sufficiency. No matter what it looks like. It's a sunny day in our heart if it's a rainy day outside. That was clever. All sufficiency in all things, that we may abound to every good work. Golly, man, that's such an awesome verse. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 while we're in the neighborhood. So we are what God says we are. We have what God says we have, and we're going to be what God's Word says we'll be. We've been delivered. We are justified. We have peace. We have all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Once we were born again, we had this Holy Spirit given to us. It's called the new creature. It's called the new creation. It's called the new man, the inner man, the inward man. It's called Christ in you. All those things mean pretty much dang it the same thing. Here it's, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. Every one of us has a ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the honor, the privilege, the blessing to be able to help people. What does reconcile mean? You remember? Yeah. To bring back together that which had been separate. He has given us the honor of that. Man, sometimes you just wonder what God was thinking, calling me. You know, I do. It's like, you gave me that privilege, Jerry Carr? Are you kidding me? So what do? I take advantage of it, knowing that he's given that to me. I'm no big deal, but he's a big deal. And what he's given me is a huge deal. So he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And then it says, to wit, verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. All right, man, we don't need to be reminded every day of all the sins we've committed or the trespasses we've done. I think that's a beautiful part in this section. But he's committed unto us a word of reconciliation. Not only has he given us a ministry, he's given us the word with which to give people. We don't have to make anything up. We can share what the word of God says, and that will do the reconciling. How about that? What do you want? Pizza? Verse 20. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We're representatives of Jesus Christ. Verse 21. We're ambassadors. For he hath made him to be sin for us. And this verse is just so fantastic. Who knew no sin? Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him? I don't understand that completely, but I know that it is what God's word says. He said he's made you the righteousness of God in him, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. So look at these few little goodies. We are what God's word says we are. We have what God's word says we have. We will be what God's word says we'll be, and this should be our committed confession. We are a new creation. Just in this little section, it said, we are a new creation. We have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a word of reconciliation. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we are the righteousness of God in him. That's just one little teeny section, what we have, who we are. Man, Ephesians 2, verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are, see the word are, again, they come up. We are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. The word workmanship in the Greek is the Greek word poema, and it means masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. We ought to walk like it. We ought to act like it. We ought to throw our shoulders back and say, yep, I'm God's masterpiece. I might have stubbed my toe this morning and it hurts like hell. But I am God's masterpiece. Because that is what God's word says. I'm a representative. I'm an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I am his masterpiece. So are you. Act like it. Say it. Dang it. Why not? If we're going to reap the maximum benefits of God's word, we got to say what his word says. And we got to know his word says what it means and all that stuff. And that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. That's still the greatest secret in the world. But we got to know it. We got to assimilate it or retain it. And then we got to release it and confess it. Just say it. That's how it works. You see it, you read it. You read it with expectation, not hesitation. You read it not out of obligation, but you read it with expectation that you're going to get blessed. I don't know how many times I've read the book of Ephesians, but I'm going to keep reading it because I love it. And it is a fantastic word of truth to me, the believers, and to you, you know. We are what the word says we are, and we are nothing less. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. I get such a kick out of life. I enjoy this life so much, I just don't know what to do with myself. The other day I went someplace where somebody works, and they've been getting kind of stalked by this creepy guy. So I figured I'd pay him a visit, you know. Check and see what's going on, you know. Just see what's going on. And then the next thing I know, that guy's not there at all. And then I get to speak the word to this girl's manager for 20 minutes. And it was so fun, you know. And I had an egg or two or three. Yep. It's a great day. Great day. That's the story. But it's my life. It's my life. If it wouldn't be there, it'd be someplace else. And I'm nothing. I'm just what the Word says. You know, made up my mind when I was 19 that this is the way I wanted to go. Verse 24, and I'm 25 today and I've stood faithful. How about this verse 24? Who his own self, you know, Jesus Christ, bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What an accomplishment that is. I don't know. Pick a verse. 1 Peter 2:24. I have one. Somebody wrote that down wrong. It was probably me. 2:24, sorry. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's what God's word says. By whose stripes ye were healed. That is the confession that of God's word. So it might be a good idea, if we want healing from God, to confess what the word of God says concerning our situation. What we need physically or spiritually or mentally. Who knows? But don't think this is a helpless road. It is not. It is a road of deliverance. It is a road of fantastic signs, miracles, and wonders. It is a fantastic truth of God's word. It's the truth. 1 Corinthians 1. We're just reading things that God's word says we have. We have healing. We are his workmanship. We are a new creation. We have the ministry of reconciliation. We have all sufficiency in all things, that we may abound to every good work. We have what his word says we have. We are what his word says we are. Chapter 1, verse 30, it says, but of him, referring to God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. He made it unto us. We didn't work for it. He made it unto us. Wisdom. Who would have ever thought that we could have the wisdom of God? I sure would have never thought it. It says he made it unto us. We didn't make it to ourselves. We didn't walk four old people across the street and get wisdom all of a sudden because of the works we did. We've got wisdom. The ability to know what to do in a situation that's probably impossible, really, sense knowledge-wise, to know what to do. He's given us wisdom, man, and righteousness, and sanctification. He set us apart from this ugly world, and he seated us in the heavenlies. And redemption. I've been redeemed. We have wisdom. We have righteousness. We have sanctification. We have redemption. We ought to act like we have it. We ought to say this. We ought to say we're redeemed. We ought to say we're righteous. We ought to say we're sanctified. Why? Because God doesn't lie. And his word says it right here. And these are just some of the things we have legally. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 2:12 that, I better read it. It won't take long. I'll read it in 1 Corinthians 2:12. It's one of my favorites. Now then, we have received not the spirit of the world, thank God, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. Freely. Look at that. We've received God's spirit so we can know the things that we've been freely given. Not to get beat up all the time. Not to beat others up all the time. Not to allow the adversary to beat you up and say you're no good. You can't do all things. You can't do anything. That's why we need each other, amongst other reasons. I need you to help me with my confession, with what I say, what comes out of my mouth. In a loving way, you can always assist me in that if you need to. And you need me. We need each other to help one another in this area. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to be what God's word says we're going to be. and gathered. I would like to look at gathered. We're going to get gathered. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. If God doesn't want us ignorant concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died, then he doesn't want us ignorant. He wants us smart. He wants us to understand what transpires. Look at this. That you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep have died, in Jesus will God bring with them. In other words, those people who have confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, believe God raised him from the dead, God's going to bring them with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or proceed or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'll never forget last year when Diane shared on the hope in that shofar, which is kind of like where this word trump comes from, that kind of trumpet. Just took me. You got that anywhere? Give us a little blow of this horn that this word comes from. It was a shofar. Turn it up. That's a good one. Whenever I get bummed out at home, I have that on the computer. I just turn that on and go, oh, here we go. Oh, that's awesome. So the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. I just think that's so cool that the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, they've been waiting a while. I don't know. Don't. That's the way I look at it. I just think it's so cool that that happens, or going to happen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We will be what the Word of God says we will be. We will be gathered. And this is a tremendously comforting thing to share with people. Not at just the time when people have fallen asleep. No, it's also comforting when we're alive and healthy and doing well. I mean, that's okay. He's coming back, whether we're in a good mood, a bad mood. And the only thing that you have people, you have to do this, you have to do. I tell you what I have to do. I have to get gathered. That's the only thing I know that I have to do. I'm gone. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. How about that? Forever. And I don't know about rewards and all these things and medals that everybody's going to get and, you know, silver suits and stuff. I don't know nothing about it. I don't care. I just want to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm getting gathered. So are you. But until then, my heart will go on rejoicing. But we will be what God's word says will be. And we need to see the word and we need to believe the word. And we need to see and believe the absolute trustworthiness of God's word, number one. Number two, Jesus Christ's complete and finished work for every believer. And number three, that we have fellowship with God and know and believe that he loves us. Man, 1 Peter chapter 5. The absolute trustworthiness of God's word. Jesus Christ's complete and finished work for every believer, and that we have fellowship with God and that he loves each and every one of us. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I think the reason we don't do the first part enough is because we forget about the second part. He cares so much for each and every one of us. We have probably no clue how much. But he cares for us. That's why we can cast all our care on him. He cares for us. He loves us. And he knows us. He knows our frailties. He knows our faults. And he loves us. That's why we can give it all, man. Give it all up to God. Psalm 34. 34 Psalm. We only have like 82 more verses. 34th Psalm. Verse 10 of 34th Psalm says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. What a beautiful, beautiful verse. Sometimes I think we need to look up a lot more. You know, in the Old Testament, whenever they cried out for help, God helped them. We need to start crying out for help. We need help. It's okay. It's okay. We have a Savior, and we have a Father, and we have believers who will help us too. We got a lot of cool things. A lot of cool things. Psalm 84. The 84th Psalm. Verse 11. It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." He's not going to withhold anything from us who walk uprightly. God hasn't changed. The book of the Italian book, Malachi, you know, 3:6 said, "I am the Lord, I change not." God hasn't changed. God's not going to withhold any good thing for those who walk uprightly. Psalm 118. 118th Psalm. Imagine the life we have, just reading these verses, the life that we have, the life that's available. Oh, man, and not just, we have it together. The greatest pay I think I ever get is watching people like you grow in the Word and hear of prayers that God has answered for you and watching people get joyful who weren't so joyful. Watch people getting delivered from devil spirits. Watching people, you know, just get healed and stuff. Oh, what a joy, man. God hasn't changed. Not one bit. Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" Boy, fear, fear, fear. It's everywhere right now. Oh, man. Your house is going to get bombed tonight. You know what? That's okay. We're not in it. It's fine. You can replace it. You know, you look like a terrorist. You look like, I mean, enough. "I'm not going to fear what man can do unto me." Then the adversary wins. I'm not going to fear. Why? There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts it out. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a what? So, to heck with that junk. And it also says in Romans 8:31, "If God be for us, who can be what?" First John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than what?" Well, dang it, say it and believe it. Believe it in your heart and say it. When stuff comes up that you're tempted to get fearful, quote those verses. Tell the adversary, get the hell out. He's got no right on God's property ever, never. Not now, not ever. Not ever, not never. The Lord's on our side. So we don't need to be afraid. We're talking about, you know, you hear scientists talk of their great findings, and I respect science. And, you know, I respect a lot of people that do great things. I really do. I admire people who do great things. But no one yet has created the heavens and the earth that I'm aware of. God did that. He did that. No one else made eternal life available to me. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. He was too heavy. He was a pretty good guy, I guess. He's the one who said, "He who writes with pencil is often misled." Was that Buddha? No, maybe not. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some of these guys cringe when I say that because they've heard it so many times. I got to get some new material. Verse 5 and 6, very familiar. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways to acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. Well, if we acknowledge him in all our ways, our path will be directed by God. It says in Philippians 2:13 that it's God which worketh in you to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. You know what? It's his good pleasure to work in us. It's not a burden. It's a blessing for God to work in us. It's in Psalms where it says, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He wants us blessed. He wants us happy. And you know, if you ever look that word blessed up, what blesses God is also what blesses us. They're very parallel. If you ever, that's a great thing to study. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by who? All our needs. What do you need? It's covered. It's supplied because it's God's word. And God's word must supersede the circumstances that we're confronted with, the pressures that we're confronted with. God's word should be our only rule of faith and practice. God's word shall supply. Shall supply. The word supply is that word pleroo. It's filled to the top. Whatever it is we need, boy, just filled to the top, to the brim. And he's going to supply all our needs. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Yeah, boy, this first part's kind of humbling. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. All right. If our mouth is saying what God's word says, then that's a really cool thing. That's a really cool thing. We're in good shape when we say what God's word says. We have what we are and all that. If we say what his word says, we're in good shape. Look at John 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8. Reading these scriptures over and over again, eventually they get into the depth of your heart. So when you're in a situation and those verses need to be there, that is what you'll say. That 18-wheeler will cut you off. You're going 90 miles an hour on the New Jersey Turnpike. And your reaction is, oh, God, help. Not, oh, a lot of other things. Your heart doesn't get snared with fear. Your heart is used to receiving the word of God. I remember once being on a boat that tipped over, and the top boat people flew into the ocean. My wife Joyce was pregnant with who? 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 Oh, yeah, Jody. Yeah, that's who it was, Jody. And, well, you can imagine, you know, there was panic on the boat, and it eventually, from being tipped over, it came back where it's supposed to be, and people are screaming, bleeding, running, jumping, in the going for, what are those things called you put on? Life vests and stuff. And I stood up and I said, I'm going to pray now, and you know, the crowd did not silence. But I prayed and I said, Father, I just pray that no one dies, that no one's seriously injured, and that the spirit of fear is gone and that the waves will cease from being big. And as soon as I prayed that, it was just so calm. And everybody got back on the boat, got back to my hotel, and that's when I went, oh my gosh, what happened? But my reaction was God's word. And the reason is because I put it there. Not because I'm bold, you know. Not because I didn't see that boat tip over. But the need was prayer. And I remembered, you know, it wasn't a similar situation. I didn't have my apostles with me or anything. But, you know, I can read the word and what Jesus Christ did. He said, peace be still, I think. And it was kind of like that kind of prayer. I learned it somewhere, and I believed it enough to say it without being any afraid or not. It's pretty cool. And my wife, Joyce, was upset. The only thing that she was upset about was the possibility of losing her camera. I'll never forget that. It's like, you were concerned about that? Huh. And that's when I said, well, what about Jody? No. I didn't. No. Verse 32 of John 8 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth makes you free. It's the only thing I know that can make you free. I grew up in the Bay Area. I was there in the 60s. I saw everybody come in with good intent and leave just drugged out and screwed up. That's a great thing to do, but if there's no foundation, peace and love, I mean, that's a good idea, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work without a foundation of God and His Word, because He is love. He's the one who invented it. He is peace. You get it? Verse 36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. We should be the most free people in the world. And we are. We are. Truth makes us free. So we read the truth. We think the truth. We believe the truth. And we manifest tremendous freedom. Not in a phony, bogus way, but we're free. I don't have to act free. I am free. I don't have to pretend I'm free. I'm free. It's true. As sons of God with all power, we must confess God's greatness, God's ability, God's love, God's heart, not our weakness, our lack of ability, our failures, our fears, our faults, our failings. We confess what the Word of God says and nothing less. We say what it declares. We watch God perform what He says He'll perform. And we need to know and claim our sonship rights. And if we do this constantly, we're going to manifest beautiful fruit like Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says. The fruit of the Spirit is love. When people see you, they see the epitome of love. Joy. They see happy people. That's what I see. Peace. They see people who are filled with peace. This is the fruit of the totality of the Holy Spirit that we have. This fruit comes out as we think the Word, believe the Word, and say the Word to ourselves first, but then share it with others with great love. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Come on, you can go there. You ain't that tired. It says in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And the way we are is we believe it. Romans chapter 12, verse 7 through 11, lists the 9 manifestations of the Spirit. We can speak in tongues, which is rest to the soul, which makes intercession for the saints, and you know, on and on. We can interpret tongues, which edifies us, like tonight. Holy smokes, those were great manifestations. Gee, willikers. Words of prophecy. Word of knowledge. Being able to know things that are humanly impossible for our senses to know anything. Word of wisdom. What to do. Discerning of spirits. To be able to walk into a place and know what's going on if you need to know. If there's spirits there, what kind are they? Are they Holy Spirit? Are they bad spirits? And if evil, should you get rid of them? Should you get out? Should they get out? Who was I with just recently? We cleared the whole place out. Who was it? Who? It was, the Grove, right? Was it the Grove? Clean that joint out. I was with somebody else, too. Dean and Albert, that's right. The whole diner left. I maybe should check my deodorant. I don't know, but, you know, boy, that's a neat thing. And then, working of miracles, gifts of healings. What's the other one? And believing. Yeah, I mean, come on. Nine manifestations of the Spirit which God has given us to manifest. Me, you, all of us. Why not? Hey, we need to get bold with that. We need to get bold at that, knowing that God loves us enough that he's going to work in us and help us and let us know things. He doesn't want us stupid. He wants to give us the answers. Let him. These are for every single born-again believer. God's word produces the same results today as it always has. But we need to say what God's word says. When we confess failure, we shut God off and are given the adversary credence and entrance. And we really need to help each other in this respect. When we confess our doubts, when we confess our worries and our fears and our anxieties, it really hurts us and takes us away from what God's word says we are and from what God's word says we have. No matter what the world says, the word of God is still right. It comes to pass when we say it and we believe it. We have the greatness of the power of God in our lives. So we ought to act like it. We ought to believe it. We ought to count on God and his word rather than our own weaknesses and our own inabilities. And certainly we have weaknesses and inabilities, but we should count on God's ability and his strength. Yeah. We count on God rather than the worldly circumstances around us. Look, I know life can be hard. In many respects, I've had a hard life in many respects, but I've been in the Word of God for 42 years, and the reason I'm still in it is because it works. It's not because of an obligation I feel to any human. It's because it works, and it's a commitment that I made to God a long time ago to stand for him to the best of my ability for all my life. And I have not regretted one minute of it because I've seen God's power, and I've watched God help and deliver people. I've watched him help and deliver me as those people or myself have believed and said what his word said. This life's been greater than anything I could have ever imagined it could be. Because God will make a way. 1 Corinthians 10. And in verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." That's our God. That is what he does. He delivers us. And even though we're threatened, even though in the Word of God they got, well, it was Acts 4. Let's read that prayer. Acts 4. This is on the heels of the man at the temple gate, beautiful, getting healed. And Peter and John got threatened. They got taken into the city council or whatever it was. And they got threatened. And a lot of times if you read the book of Acts, you'll see when people get in trouble, when believers got in trouble or they got knocked around or put in prison, they would go back to the believers and tell them what happened, how God delivered them. You know, believing does inspire believing in others. It does. And man, I love to hear stories of how people have gotten healed, how people have gotten out of jams and situations. Look at this verse, 29 of chapter 4, this prayer. "And now, Lord," he's with all the believers, "behold their threatenings," Peter and John, "and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word," which is what got them in trouble in the first place, "by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They prayed that they would speak the word of God, and you know what they did? They spoke the word of God. Other places it says, "Go, stand, speak to the people all the words of this life." They spoke the word of God. To really be effective at speaking the word of God to others, you need to be effective at speaking it to ourselves. And I really want to encourage all of us to have a committed confession. Even though these men were threatened, they continued to speak the word with boldness. Our confession's got to be what the Word of God says. When you and I say what the Word of God says, it builds. Oh, yeah, this is another thing it did there. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said anybody that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. If you want to build a like-mindedness, if you want to build a unity, so to speak, you do it around the Word. That's the only genuine unity there is. It can't be the way we dress or the way we think or if you're into health food or sports or music and all that stuff. None of that really matters. What matters is that we're like-minded upon the Scriptures. What does the Word of God say? And this builds a tremendous unity. That's what does it. That's what does it. It does it. And when you and I say what God's Word says, it builds us one heart, one soul, and like-mindedness. If we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, we got to say what God's Word says, and we have to believe what God's Word says. And in order to do that, we got to know it. So we study it, we read it, we see what God has given us so freely, and we say it to ourselves. And then, after we say it to ourselves, we confess it with our mouths. We share it with others. We reap the fruit of it in our own lives. And I want to read to you here as I close from pages 35 to 37 in this book. And the Bible Tells Me So. It's a book. It was written by Dr. Werwell. And it's from the chapter, The Synchronized Life. It's fantastic. Yep, it says in Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is the declared, confirmed Word of God. When you begin to confess the Word, it becomes a reality in your life. Until that time, you'll be defeated by the satanic principalities and powers on every hand because of your confession. Know the Word. Confess the Word. Act upon the Word. That is what is meant by a synchronized life. Determine now that you'll never again make a negative confession. Learn what and how to confess. Confess from the heart with your mouth what God has confirmed by the Word of God. Confess what the Bible says you are. Not what you think you are, not what your next door neighbor says you are, not what your best friend might say you are. Hold fast to what the Word says. We have been delivered from the power of darkness, Satan, evil, and wrong. A dear friend of mine, Skip Mesquite, who I had the privilege of sharing the Word with, had a $350 a day heroin habit. Now that's shooting some junk. You gotta go ways to be shooting $350 a day. And he got in the Word of God. Some miraculous things transpired. When he got in the Word of God, he got this book, and he read that line: "We have been delivered from the power of darkness, Satan, evil, and wrong." Well, that was it. He got healed. That was it. Never went back. Confessed that till the day that he fell asleep. And I know that because I was talking to him till the day he fell asleep. We've been delivered, man. We've been delivered. Colossians 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son." The next time evil or negatives come into your mind, immediately declare the Word and say, "I confess I've been delivered from the power of darkness by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Keep saying this and sooner it'll be a reality in your life. If you've been translated into the kingdom of God by the work of his dear Son, then you're not in the kingdom of the devil. Do you think you can be in the kingdom of God and the devil at the same time? He's delivered us from the power of evil, and we're in the kingdom of God. People think they got to strive to become good before God will bless them. I assure you that God will never bless you because of your goodness, but rather because of your believing. How do you get rid of darkness in a room? The darkness is gone as quickly as the light comes on. Well, so when you allow the light of the Word of God to come in our lives, the darkness is dispelled. There is nothing in the Word of God that says anything about our feelings. It says believe. All that God has given comes to you by believing without respect to how good or bad you are. That is love. That is what Christ came to bring. As we act on the promises of God, they become real to us and are evidenced in our lives. Synchronize your believing and confession on the promises of God's word, and you will manifest a more than abundant life in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you so much for your grace and goodness, for your wonderful word that you've placed in our midst, that we could know you, that we could have a relationship with you, Father. Thank you for all the things that have been made available to us, that we can see them come to pass in our lives, that we can confess what your word says, that we can walk boldly upon what it says and believe it with every ounce of strength and being in our lives. I pray for this night for everyone having a sweet sleep. Thanks for how you've cooled this joint down. And Father, that this weekend can be such a fantastic blessing to all of us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. Bless you. Peace. Bye.